Hi, I'm Tim Andrews.
And I'm Shaney B. Coming up on today's Tim and Shaney B. Experiment,
the Grammy Awards,
a preview of the State of the Union,
and who has the biggest butthurt.
The Tim and Shaney B. Experiment starts right now.
Yes, we have. We're back. It's us. We're in the studio. We're recording our podcast, the Tim and Shaney B. Experiment.
Back in action. It's been a while since we've done this.
I know, but you know, this is a more comfortable format for me.
This is much, much more familiar territory because we're not doing the video aspect of it today.
Right. It's audio. It's not live. There's no deadline here. And most importantly, I can't see myself in a monitor.
And of course, if we screw up, we can hit the rewind button, erase it, and start again.
Yeah, just like I don't do when I record my other podcasts.
Never.
I think it's fun. It's meta to leave it in. But this one, we're tight. It's important. And we need to talk about the Grammy Awards. Now, Shaney B., did you watch the Grammy Awards?
Absolutely not. I boycotted the Grammy Awards.
Now, tell me, why did you boycott the Grammy Awards?
Because just anything out of the entertainment industry lacks entertainment. It's all political.
It has become that. I don't recall. I mean, you go back 20 years, 15, maybe even 10, the Grammy Awards were not a place for that. I mean, there was one or two people that would always do it. But it was just about the music, celebrating the music industry.
And great accomplishments. And as soon as the first telltale sign that I thought I'm not even interested was the White Rose
yes,
statement
right.
for the Me Too movement. And I'm thinking most of this has come out of the entertainment industry, all of the sexual harassment and the casting couches and
yes.
and all that trash that they are feeling their own guilt and trying to drag it on everybody else.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm not interested, so.
And then they had, the one thing that stuck out to me as the most pandering was they had celebrities read the book. What's the name of the book? I can't think of it.
Fire and Fury.
Fire and Fury.
Michael Wolff,
yes, who also has alluded to the fact that he's alleged that the president is having an affair with Nikki Haley.
Oh, that came from him?
Yeah. Yeah, he's spreading that rumor around Washington.
Fantastic.
So
fantastic.
She, you know, when basically, to make a long story short, celebrities read it. James Corden set it all up. He was the host. And then there was this little clip.
One reason why he liked to eat at McDonald's. Nobody knew he was coming, and the food was safely pre-made.
And everybody just cheered and cheered and cheered.
You remember in the campaign, she went to some fast food restaurant, and they didn't even recognize her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah. It's too bad she couldn't read from her own book. Can I just point that out?
Oh, what happened?
Why didn't she read from What Happened?
Well, let me tell you this. I will be reading excerpts from not only What Happened, but also Clinton Cash.
Excellent.
At the next CMA Awards. You know, my audience is there. I don't need to worry about any of these people. Besides Jay-Z, sick and tired of him, whatever he has to say. Look, so many black people are working again thanks to me, not thanks to the last guy, and not thanks to Jay-Z.
I'm telling you what, those numbers are awesome.
They are.
That the black unemployment rate grew beyond the entire history of them measuring it.
Yeah, it had.
I mean, that's great.
And the economy going gangbusters, and people are going to get jobs that haven't had jobs in a long time. Manufacturing jobs are coming back to the country. Who knows what they're going to pay? But people are getting bonuses. People are getting raises. You're going to notice more money in your paycheck at the end of February, according to the forecasters. So the economy is turning along. People are making money. But
at the Grammys, they're pissing and moaning.
That's right. And because, you know, Donald Trump is a misogynist and blah, 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 blah. Even if he is, I don't care. The economy's great.
You know what? That's my whole thing. I know a lot of people like to vote on character and
yeah.
and world views and political philosophies. And that's all kind of nice. Just do you have plans that are going to make things better for the common good in terms of being able to make a living, being able to own a home,
right.
being able to raise your family? I'm not even a family man, but I factor that in because most people are family people.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I look for personally. And it doesn't have to have an R or a D.
And if you pay attention, if you're not wrapped up in whatever political side you think you're on, if you just are objective, and you listen to the president speak, he says things like this, which are telltale signs of somebody who's there for the American people. He says, I'm working with the Democrats and the Republicans. He doesn't say our side. He says, I'm working with both of these teams. He's the president. He's so much of an independent, and you see, because of the fact that he's an independent president, more or less. I mean, he ran as a Republican, but I mean, let's be serious. He's not.
He used to be a Democrat,
right? And he doesn't fall under that typical what a Republican is. He's leading as an independent, trying to get both sides to come to some resolution on things that nobody has been able to resolve for 2 to 3 decades.
Any more, the word bipartisan and the phrase reach across the aisle, they're just buzzwords that are so meaningless. But when he says it, I truly think he really means them by their literal definitions. Take, for example, this entire immigration thing. And he, let's see, today's Monday, so he's officially releasing it, but they let out the 4 bullet points last Friday. Mm-hmm. The major one being path to citizenship for a ton of these dreamers.
Yeah, 1.8 million, I believe.
I thought it was a bigger number. Okay. But yeah, okay. It was a large number. It was more than what the Democrats were asking for.
Right.
And it really, that truly is a bipartisan effort.
Yeah.
Here is what you want and then some. Now give me my wall.
Yeah, I want my wall. I want border security, and I want to end the
chain
lottery
migration.
System and chain migration, which if you look online, a lot of these lefty blogs and progressives on Twitter will say things like, chain migration is a racist term. There's nothing racist about it. It's an illogical thing that exists, that people come and then they bring their whole family with them. It's not the way it's going to work anymore. If we can get what we all want, which is a little bit of compromise, which is, hey, we'll take a little of this, we'll take a little of that. Look, California, they want to ban plastic straws, but still allow people to come into the country illegally because they're of this mindset that borders shouldn't exist. Well, if you don't have borders, how can you have a nation? If you don't have a nation, how can you have a culture? You know, it doesn't matter what color. I mean, we're the greatest nation on earth because of one thing. Well, many things, but one thing that sets us apart is we are ethnically diverse, and I'm not one of those people who says diversity is our strength, because I don't believe that. I think you make an amalgam of everyone, and everybody is an American. And, you know, a lot of the people I talk to, and I'm to an annoying degree, I will talk to foreigners who are here, you know, cab drivers, what have you. They all love this country, and they all tend to be conservatives. Mm-hmm. And bringing me to my last point about this is that the Hispanics coming in, if you're one of those people, I don't want them here. I don't want any of them here. Send them all back. Don't do that. Embrace them, because what you'll have is a permanent block of conservative value voters.
That is so true, because a lot of the Hispanics, they come from, most of them, a Catholic background.
Right.
And so it's not a Protestant religion, but either way, they come from a family and a culture where faith values matter a lot.
Yes.
Family values, life, pro-life issues. They are much more that
work ethic.
God leads them more than government leads them.
Correct. Yeah. And that's, you know, and look at Mexico. Why would you want to live in a country where the government doesn't care about you at all? They have no good infrastructure. And you have to basically dodge bullets.
Can't even drink the water without severe diarrhea.
Well, I think they can because they're used to it.
Well, that's true.
We can't go there and do that.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, you have so many cartels and the murders and the crime and corrupt politicians, corrupt policemen, corrupt military officials. Get out of there. Come here.
Wow, sounds like an asshole country.
You can say it. No, we can't say it. And I've never been one of those people who's been of the mindset, you know, you got to deport people who've lived here for 18, 20 years. They're here. They're not going anywhere. You're not going to send somebody who's never set foot in El Salvador back to El Salvador.
I've been taking a little peek here and there at some of the alt-right blogs and alt-right outlets. I'm not seeing nearly as much outrage over this proposal, this path to citizenship proposal.
Right.
I thought I would see a lot more of that.
I've seen it from two people, James Woods and Ann Coulter, who I both follow. Oh, I follow both of them on Twitter. Ann Coulter's just agitprop. That's her whole, you know, buy my book.
I pay no yeah, she just throws Molotov cocktails and tries to make a couple bucks off of
exactly.
it. Exactly. But I think people really understand what Trump is doing.
Yeah.
And it's that, look, I'm going to have to give a little to get what I want. You're going to have to give a little to get what you want.
Correct.
That's how. That's what bipartisanship is.
You got to give a little to get a little.
You got to give a little bit.
Give a little bit give of a little my love to me.
So I wonder somebody. What he's doing for the how he's getting ready for his speech tomorrow night.
You know, why don't we link up with the Donald sometime in our podcast presentation?
How about like right now?
Shall we?
He's ready.
Is he? Hello, hello. Let's see.
Hello.
Oh my God! Live via satellite.
Thank you for having me. Oh,
I'm so honored.
Now, am I on ISDN? What is this?
You are on a VOIP.
A VoIP.
A VoIP.
Covfefe.
Don't ask me to tell you what that spells.
What, covfefe? You still wonder what that means, don't you?
Covfefe. I forgot about covfefe.
Clinton.
Yes.
Has something to do with her. I'm not going to tell you right now. You want me to tell you right now?
Did she read anything about it last night at the Grammys?
No,
Mr.
she
President?
Was too busy reading that book of fiction.
Oh.
That book of fiction.
She was.
Look, I am not having an affair with Nikki Haley, but she's a beautiful lady. Don't get me wrong.
You know, I'm surprised. Mr. President, it was Michael Wolff that made those allegations that you and the UN ambassador are having an affair?
He did, and if I weren't the president, I would be beating him bloody.
What about this porn star, Mr. President? Did you have an affair with a porn star?
No. Fake news. I like Sunny Daniels. She's beautiful. She's a very attractive lady. She was going to run for governor of Alabama. A long time ago, maybe 8 years ago.
I don't know why she didn't win.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what happened. Look, I was busy. I had a very, very popular show on NBC. Mm-hmm. People were watching my show, and I would love to have her on there. Beautiful lady. She reminded me so much of Ivanka, if Ivanka had been a mattress back for 10 years.
Oh, my goodness. You know, Mr. President.
I mean, this lady has been plowed more than a parking lot in Buffalo in the winter.
That's a lot of plowing, it Mr.
Is.
President.
Yes. She's been banged more than a screen door in a hurricane. These are old jokes, folks. I didn't make them up. I'm just telling you.
No, that's okay. That's okay, Mr. President. We don't want to stifle your self-expression here on the Tim and Cheney B experiment, that's for sure.
Covfefe. You know, C-O-E-V-E. Let's see. Clinton Opt Vince Foster.
That's some good stuff there, Mr.
And that's
President.
Half of it.
Is any of this, are you going to include any of these jokes, any of these acronyms in your State of the Union address?
They told me not to. I like jokes.
Hey,
I love them.
I believe in let Trump be Trump.
Would you like to hear the beginning?
I would. Oh, go right ahead,
guys,
please. Give
okay.
us a preview, Mr.
Okay.
President.
All right, here we go. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, Mr. Vice President, members of Congress, the First Lady. The United States, look at her. Look how beautiful she is. Very beautiful. And legal, not illegal, citizens of America. Tonight, as we mark the conclusion of our year-long celebration of my many, many wonderful and beautiful accomplishments, we are reminded of our nation's path towards globalism and the work that still remains to be done to thwart it. Recent threats targeting innocent men and the destruction of their careers, as well as last week's allegations against Scott Baio, remind us that while we may be a nation divided on policy, we are a country that stands united in condemning misandry and the evils of feminism in its very ugly, and I'm talking Rosie O'Donnell ugly, bigly ugly forms. Too harsh? Should I tone it down?
You know, it sounds to me a lot like what I would expect. A Twitter feed.
Yes,
to
exactly.
To a joint session of Congress.
I'm going to stand there for 2.5 hours and just tweet.
Now, you acknowledged people in the audience, people in the gallery. Representative Joe Kennedy, who will be giving the response, he is attending tonight's State of the Union with a transgender person of the military.
Well, good for him. Are they dating?
The both genders of that one person? Are they?
I don't know, because the Kennedys will sleep with anything, believe me. Look, they'll even drive him off a bridge.
Sleep with the fishes.
He doesn't sound like a Kennedy. If they're going to have a liberal Kennedy come in after me, I want him to sound like a Kennedy, okay? I don't want a guy.
He does not have that.
He doesn't have that
typical.
Ridiculous one square block of one part of Massachusetts accent.
Well, we're going to have to create it for him. We're going to have to help him.
We'll help him out. I'll help him.
But, you know, I thought you should acknowledge, you know, the Chelsea Manning types of our society.
Look, Bradley, I love you, okay? You exposed the lies of the Obama administration. I'm never going to call you what you want to be called. because to me, you'll always be Bradley the traitor, okay? I'll also be acknowledging crying Chuck Schumer, limp-wristed Lindsey Graham, jello brain John McCain, nice knockers Nancy Pelosi, and crooked Hillary Clinton.
You know,
have you seen Nancy Pelosi's jugs? For a 90-year-old woman, she's beautiful.
I think it's some of her eyelids.
Oh, is that what it is?
Sagging. Yes,
she uses her lower eyelids as a bra.
Yeah, you know, they just kind of use skin and repurpose it.
Wow.
When you're, you know, 90,000 years old.
With those bat wings, she could jump off a building and glide to the ground safely.
She could. She'd just float like a feather.
She could float like a feather.
So let's
any
look
other
ahead.
Questions?
I do have a question because the State of the Union acknowledges
the State
the
of the Union is great. By the way,
Union.
I will tell you, it's fantastic. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it's great.
That is way better because every president says the State of our Union is strong.
The State of our Union is fantastic.
I like that.
I like it because manufacturing coming back. I was just at Davos. I was over there talking to those fat cats from around the world, the globalists. We're going to redo NAFTA. We're going to fix everything that the last 30 years have destroyed. We're going to bring America back again. And I don't care what color you are, where you're from, what asshole you were born in. You come here, you're an American. End of story.
That is some beautiful patriotic words spoken, Mr. President.
And everybody better stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, which I will be leading at the beginning of my speech.
Mr. President, I don't want to keep you any longer from preparing for tonight's big State of the Union address.
Sure, I understand.
What are you looking forward to most in 2018?
Well, I'm looking forward to one thing first, and that is to have the immigration deal done, okay? I want to have the deal done. I want to have the deal signed. I'm going to sign it. It'll be great. I'll give the pens away. After that, infrastructure, okay? I want to work with private industry, and I want to give every state the opportunity take a little bit of money from the government and private industry to rebuild our great bridges and our roads and our parks and all those wonderful things. So all these immigrants that I'm allowing to stay will have great roads for the future.
That's beautiful, Mr. President.
Infrastructure, great. Where are all the shovel-ready jobs? I'll tell you, they're going to be here. I'm also looking forward to going to a Braves game so I can see that new mascot they have. He's so handsome and cute.
When you push immigration, you should say hashtag bring your shovels.
Hashtag bring your shovels.
You can have that, Mr. President. I will ask for no royalties.
And I don't want you to, thank you. And I don't want you bringing them to bury somebody that you're killing because we're only going to bring good people here and we want them to work, not be burying bodies.
Oh, I just thought of that. That could be bad.
Yeah, then, well, some of them do. Some of them are doing the killing.
I understand.
They got to go back.
They do. The bad ones got to go back.
More enforcement, more money.
Bad dudes.
Bad dudes. Those bad hombres. They got to go back, okay?
Mr. President, thank you so much for your time, and God bless America, and God bless you.
God bless the United States.
Thank you. Wow.
Wow, that was a great interview, Tim.
Well, I didn't hear it. I'll listen to it when I edit. I had to go to the bathroom.
You have to go back and listen because I'm telling you, I'm so proud to be an American right now. I could burst out into a song.
Please do. Is it still in the system yet?
Unfortunately, it is.
I'm proud to be an American.
I'm proud to be American. Land of you and me.
All right. So the president's speech is this week, the State of the Union address. Now, did he do it last year, or was it just it wasn't an official State of the Union?
No.
But he did address both chambers.
What is it called? There's a different name for it, but that is not a State of the Union. I think it's just an address to joint session of Congress, I think is what it is.
So Ruth Bader Ginsburg will not be attending.
Well, if she is, she'll nod off.
I know. She always falls asleep.
She always falls asleep, and people think it's because glug, 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 glug.
I won't be there this year. I am going to be at home.
She needs to take care of herself because she says she is not going anywhere. She's going to stay a Supreme Court justice.
Hashtag resistance.
And how old is she?
I'm almost 112.
That's about right.
Really old lady.
You're an old fogey, and you better, you know, really take care of yourself because she's trying to hang in there until Trump is out.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember when she was a nominee? And Rush Limbaugh called her Ruth Buzzy Ginsburg. Now, you have to be old to remember who Ruth Buzzy was.
I know who Ruth Buzzy was.
And and you have to admit, this was back in Clinton's first term, and I was it Clinton's first term? I think so. I don't remember exactly, but I was definitely a Clinton fan and more of a Democrat, liberal Democrat. And I thought it was funny. I listened to Rush all the time back then because I thought he was funny. His bits were funny.
I was still coming around back then. Mm. Do you know what got me interested in talk radio?
What?
Art Bell.
Me too. I love Art Bell.
Yeah.
I miss Art Bell.
That was the first time I ever sat and listened to talk radio was listening to Art Bell.
I'd go to sleep every night listening to Coast with Art Bell. East of the Rockies. West of the Rockies.
I was DXing. I was on a road trip. You know what DXing is, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
That's when you drop, like, especially on a road trip.
Oh, deaccelerating?
At night, you go through the AM dial and you turn real slow.
Oh, yeah.
And
see
how far away you can listen.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then I heard like something about humans telepathically communicating with dolphins. I'm like, is this? And it was Art Bell. I was hooked.
It was such a great show. And then he started disappearing, and then they would bring in different people, like Ian Punnett would fill in. And they finally settled with the guy, George Norrie, who wrote all those alien books that are to be disbelieved if you're smart. But
Art Bell was the man.
Art Bell was the man.
He did
live in the high desert.
From the high desert. He was in lived in a big trailer out in the desert in the back room, and he was his own board operator. He did everything himself. And sat there with a big satellite dish out back.
And you're familiar with Phil Hendry, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was my night when I'd go to bed. I'd listen to the Phil Hendry show and then fall asleep listening to Art Bell. And there was always a bit. There was one bit that Phil Hendry did where he made fun of Art Bell.
With the phone numbers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, no, he did that all the time, east of the Rockies.
But it would go on for 10 minutes.
Yes.
And west of Chicago, dial. Right. A wild card line, dial.
But the one he did is he did Art Bell trying to do the Phil Hendry show. So he's basically Art Bell doing the different callers, but they all sounded like Art Bell. So you're like, all right, I have Bill on the line. Hi, Bill. Hi, Art. And you can find it on YouTube. I
love Phil Hendry. You know where he got his start?
WSB.
Right here.
He was in Atlanta a couple weeks ago, and I listened to his podcast. He was talking about WSB.
Well, that's awesome.
You know who else worked here in the TV station as an intern?
Who?
Wayne Williams.
Now, who's that?
He is the Atlanta child murderer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm listening to this podcast.
Oh, that's great.
No, it's his podcast called Atlanta Monster, and it's based out of Atlanta. It's all about him and that whole time. And Monica Kaufman Pearson is one of the primary narrators of this, because WSB was the news channel, still is, but you know what I mean? All of his archives came from that. And he was just this guy who loved TV and radio. He built a radio station in his backyard and would do shows. He got like the mayor to come to his house.
Oh, that's wild.
And so he built it when he was in school, high school. He built this radio tower. So he was just doing shows. Interesting stuff.
That's very cool.
That you didn't know.
I had no idea.
And it kind of has me worried. No, never mind. I won't get into it.
I know nothing. We'll end it here.
So check it out. Check it out if you're interested in it. It's a very, if you're into Atlanta history and history in general and weird unsolved or partially solved things, it's called Atlanta Monster. So before we wrap up, I want to talk about the big butt hurt. You want to talk about the big butt hurt?
Oh, you know, we've got to, because somebody's butt is always hurt. And today we're going to highlight one hurt butt, or at least one.
A couple of them. Couple of them.
We need to use Sir Mix-a-Lot.
You want to make that? You make the thing.
I'll make the thing. We're gonna have big hurt butt music.
Okay, we're gonna have big hurt butt. I like big hurt butts, and I cannot lie. Those other, I know the whole song. Okay, listen. Gonna go right out there. The Me Too movement has jumped the shark. Now, how appropriate to use that old cliche, jump the shark, where we're talking about Scott Baio, who was on Happy Days.
Which is the show that jumped the shark.
It is.
Literally and figuratively.
Although it was Fonzie who jumped the shark when they went out to Hawaii. I don't know why they would have gone to Hawaii. I don't even know if it was a state yet, but anyway.
But him skiing with the leather jacket on.
Yay!
Really.
Yeah, would have weighed him down and he would have been eaten by the damn shark. Scott Baio, who's been under fire for the last year anyway because he came out as a Trump supporter. He's always been kind of a punchline to a joke that's never been told. He was big on Happy Days, did Joni Loves Chachi, which was the one season spinoff that failed miserably, disappeared for a little while. Then he came back and did Charles in Charge, which was a big hit in syndication and on broadcast television.
And what's funny, I like Joni Loves Chachi more than Charles in Charge.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, by the time Charles in Charge was on television, I wasn't watching TV because I was late teens, mid to late teens. So there are more important things for me to try to do than watch television. But he has been accused by his former co-star, Nicole, Eggert, and she said that he had approached her and I guess molested her in a garage.
That she is alleging that he had sexual relations with her at the age of 17.
Uh-huh.
I think 17, whatever it was, underage. She was a minor.
And he responded thusly. Thusly.
I'm going to knock down all these false claims against me. My reputation is being damaged. My family is being put through this. And I'm done. I'm done.
Yeah, was that his clock in his house, or does he live near a church?
He was doing this response at about 2:45.
And I remember her calling me and asking to come over and coming in my house one time and seducing me. Now, any normal, heterosexual, red-blooded American guy, the outcome would have been the same.
Well,
now he also provided documented evidence,
such as
he used the IMDb database. Okay, showed she was born in 1972.
Yes,
she alleged that all these things happened after the production of Charles in Charge.
All right,
he showed one of the scripts, and it was 1991 or something like that. And the show still continued on. Do the math. She wasn't even 17.
Well, how old was she?
She was like in her 20s.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's like, I'm putting this to rest. And he had, you know, things to just knock this down.
By the way, this is the theme to Joni Loves Chachi.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, he's singing it with Aaron Moran. This all started with a tweet by Tony Poznanski. He said, Scott Baio was not able to go with the president to Switzerland, but in support... He will only be using Swiss cheese and all the subs he makes at Subway on his shift tonight. Obviously, Scott Baio does not work at Subway, and that is a bad joke. To which Nicole Eggert responded, Ask Scott Baio what happened in his garage at his house when I was a minor. Creep. And then that's what led to all this. But Scott Baio, justifiably so, going down a road of shut the F up.
So he's got a little bit of butthurt.
He does.
Let
me just...
But good for him.
Yes.
Good for him, because these allegations are coming from left, right, and center. It's almost like in the early 90s,
yeah,
when sexual harassment became a big thing back then.
Yes, it did.
And that was about the same time where the allegations against Herman Cain started popping up.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was being sexually harassed because they saw dollar signs.
Yes.
There was a whole lot of just pay them, settle it, just go away. And history repeats itself.
Yep.
Because now it's kind of cool to be sexually harassed and to be a victim and to be a Me Too.
And on top of that, now you have social media, so allegations can fly. People can be the judge, jury, and executioner of someone's career.
Based on a tweet.
Without any chance of them being able to respond.
That's it.
And, you know, we've lost the one of the greatest things about this country, which is you are innocent until proven guilty. And no other country on earth are you innocent until proven guilty. You're guilty until you prove yourself innocent.
Especially
in England, their justice system is that way. But to just take the word of a bunch of people who go, well, you have to believe all women. You don't have to believe all women. It is a cognitive choice to take anecdotal evidence. And just, I'm sick of Me Too. And you know, of course women should be heard. Of course women should seek and receive justice after an attack. That's no question there. But why are we, as the public, forced to witness the unfolding of years of bad decisions and choices by Hollywood actresses and actors? I mean, if you go along with something, if you acquiesce with something, you're not necessarily pressured if you know that it's going to affect your career and you are going to skyrocket. I mean, this Hollywood, ever since you were able to capture moving pictures and make movies out of them, and from that gain riches and stardom and the adoration of millions and millions of people, who's not going to lay on their back for 10 minutes while an old producer climbs on top of them? Men, women, whatever. It's been going on for years.
And it will continue, I'm afraid.
Of course it will continue. I'm just sick of, you know, we're watching this play out live. Why do we have to take a side as people? I don't think we do. And basically, you know, my grandfather used to say to me, pull up your bootstraps and handle it. It's life. Things happen. Bad things happen to good people. Good things happen to bad people. You just have to go on going on. And that's, you know, I mean, it's terrible. Like some of the things that have, that we've heard about. Obviously, Harvey Weinstein, pig, and getting his comeuppance. Kevin Spacey, maybe inappropriate, but that was 20 years ago. Why didn't you say something then? Why? Were you afraid? What were you afraid of? Were you afraid to be embarrassed? Were you afraid to lose money? Were you afraid to not get a job? Or were you afraid
Bingo.
Of justice? You weren't afraid of justice.
That was it. It was, you know, hey, look, this is my big chance.
Yep.
This is my big chance. But there's so many accusations. There's so many screaming Me Too. It's the whole Me Too hashtag.
Yep.
It's like the word racism. It's being used and abused and falling on deaf ears. I agree 100%. It has jumped its shark.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. That'll about do it for today, by the way.
We're going to leave with some sore butts.
Yeah, well, hey. Oh, just sit in a hot tub with some Epsom salts. It'll take care of all that damage.
Oh.
We can be a little looser on this show than on our normal shows. You can hear me Monday through Friday on the Von Hessler Doctrine from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m.
And I am part of the Herman Cain Show, heard weekdays 11 a.m. to noon, both on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
And you can follow the show at... Did I throw you for a loop?
Oh, my God.
What's our Twitter handle?
You know, we don't... I did save us one.
You did.
Our Twitter handle is TSB Experiment.
Oh, okay.
We just never tweeted.
Well, we're going to have to start.
Yes, I did create us a handle. YouTube.com. Actually, go to any social media platform.
Yes.
/ TSB Experiment.
And we are very active on the Facebook page, so you can go there as well. Tweet us, Facebook us, send us your suggestions. We're going to expand this. Hopefully, we'll get back to doing the TV part as well.
As soon as I can get my green screen ironed out.
But until we do that, we'll be here with you, right here on the Tim and Shaney B.
Experiment.